You're locked in with Atlanta's hottest hip-hop station. The Hype 87.3.
Holla at your girl. It is Tampa Mystic. We live right here on the Hype 87.3, man. Listen, we got Louisiana checking in today. The big hog, not the little one. What's going on with your family?
I'm good, baby. How you doing?
Man, it's so nice to meet you. You have great energy. You have a great personality.
Thank you.
I've enjoyed our conversation thus far.
So have I.
We've like talked about everything before we even got on air, man.
Right.
Appreciate you being here. Introduce yourself.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
My name is Scott Burdett. I go by Big Hulk. I'm from Franklin, Louisiana, a small town south of Lafayette, kind of in the middle of everything, in the middle of Cajun country. I don't know what else you want to know.
No, but I love the fact that you told us where it's at on the map, because sometimes artists will be from a small city, and then I have to ask them, well, where is that in reference to a bigger city?
Right. And a lot of people where I'm from or in that kind of area, they'll say they're from Lafayette, or they'll say they're from Baton Rouge, or they say they're from New Orleans. And that just ain't me. I got it on me. You know what
Franklin
I'm saying?
In the building. Represent. Listen, you guys, he does so many dope things, and we're going to talk about all of them. Let's talk about, going back to Franklin, growing up as a child. You were into sports. Tell us about that.
So I grew up playing football, baseball, basketball. That was what we had, and we pretty much did everything. Junior high, I played football and basketball. We didn't have baseball.
Okay.
So high school, got to high school, played football, played baseball, was a part of the theater program.
Okay.
Yeah.
You like to act and stuff?
Yeah, it was cool. It was something else to do that was different from sports. I was pretty decent at it. I haven't done it in a long time, but I'm sure if the right opportunity came around, I could get back to it. Went to college, went to Louisiana Tech for 4 years. Played football for about 2 months and then ended up playing rugby for the next 4 years.
Wow, you are a super athlete.
And graduated in 2013 and been back in Franklin ever since.
Man, you have a nice journey, a nice story.
It's diverse, I'll tell you that. I done been some places and seen some stuff.
I'm sure you have, most definitely. Again, staying in the childhood era, anything you would change about growing up in your area or what you went through?
Nah, I don't think so. I think there was enough positive things that happened when I was young and the people I grew up with that helped, kind of shape who I am and things like that. And also even some of the stuff that wasn't all what it was cracked up to be, you still got to be thankful for that kind of stuff. Because if you don't go through nothing and you don't know how to handle adversity,
man,
it's tough if you get out to be our age and, you ain't never been through nothing.
Man, that is facts. And that's why it's important for, parents to obviously stay in their kids' life as far as keeping them active. But don't baby them. Teach them the fundamentals of life.
Absolutely.
That's important. My dad always did. He taught me about, because they don't, in school, I don't know how it is now, but when I was in school, which is way before y'all time, I'm a super OG. They didn't teach us about, financial literacy and stuff. We didn't learn about that.
Right. And now they trying to kind of push it in, but it's all elective classes. It's not things that you have to take.
Yeah.
So you could take financial literacy, you could take accounting, you could take business math, but it's not something that you need to graduate. So they don't necessarily push it, you're talking about.
Absolutely.
I do think that there's definitely some things that people need to take.
Absolutely. So with that being said, you're a teacher.
I am.
You're a PE teacher.
I am.
What else? Did you mention something else? I know you said you're a PE teacher. Is there something else that you teach as well?
I teach 7th grade IBCA, Business Computer Applications.
Love it.
So I'm teaching them how to use Microsoft Word and PowerPoint and all of that.
I might need to get a crash course. I used to years ago really be good with that, but I haven't kept up with it. And I know it's changed over the years.
Not as much as you would think. They just kind of update the software a little bit, but all of the control keys and everything are still
all the same.
Yeah.
Definitely.
They just kind of fix a few things here and there and still kind of keep the meat and potatoes of everything.
Basically the same.
So that people that have been out of it for a while can still
get right. It's like riding a bike, right?
Yeah. Because, man, before I started teaching that class last year, I hadn't really messed with it. Having to show somebody how to do it in a couple of years, but I've been using it writing stuff and doing my schedules and all of that.
Yeah.
So I still was familiar with it. And then when I saw the new stuff, I was like, okay, this ain't that bad.
Now you're teaching it.
Now I'm teaching it.
I love that. When did you know that you wanted to be a teacher?
When I went to my freshman orientation and met with my advisor was when I made the decision.
Yeah.
So my dad was actually a teacher. He did 32 years in the St. Mary Parish school system.
Wow.
As a teacher, coach, and principal. And
wow.
He brought me up to Louisiana Tech for orientation, and I wanted to be an athletic trainer.
Yeah.
But I knew I had to do something to stay around sports. And I like anybody that's listening to this from Franklin can vouch for me on this. I got it up top.
Yeah,
I
could tell.
Like I could have been an engineer or a doctor or a lawyer or whatever and made a lot more money, but I knew I had to be around sports because I wasn't going to enjoy nothing else. I'd have been miserable. I'd have been rich, but I'd have been miserable.
Right, right. Money can't always bring happiness.
And, so I said that to say this. When I was sitting with my advisor, I was telling her, I was like, I want to be a trainer, but I also want to be able to coach.
Yeah.
And she was like, well, if you want to go into coaching, you probably need to go into teaching.
Man.
And like that. That was it.
That was it. You knew from that day forward.
That was the decision.
Absolutely.
And growing up, I never wanted to be a teacher because my dad was a teacher.
Right, but, exactly. But you're fulfilling your passion.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I definitely feel like I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Absolutely. Let's dive into that a little deeper.
Okay.
What is your purpose through teaching and helping these kids?
So my biggest thing with teaching is, and people get lost in the like the numbers and the percentages and the standardized tests and all of that. And if you throw all of that out the window, what are you really doing? You're building relationships with these kids. You spend more time with them any given day during the week for 180 days at least.
Yes.
You spending more time with them than they spending at home.
Yes.
So a lot of times you're the person they look to. You're the person that they're with. You're somebody that they trust, you know. And I think is, if you throw all of that other stuff out the window, it's way more important to build the relationships with those kids.
Man.
Because a lot of times they don't have it at home.
That's right. 100% I agree. You know, like I said, I shared, you know, I was a single mom and I kept my son in sports from elementary until he graduated. And he always looked up to his coaches.
Right.
Listened to them. And then my son went on to go to the military. Now he's going to Florida State University. Like, I feel like keeping kids in sports and having guys like you in their life as their coach will set them up for later in life. You're a blessing.
I agree. Thank you.
You are a blessing. Bless your heart. Like, is there ever any days that it gets a little tough, or is it something that you just enjoy every single day?
I mean, there's some, it's like anything else. There's some days where you get up and you're like,
do I gotta go?
But you, I mean, you know, you get up and do it. And most of it comes from the fact that I'm not a morning person at all. If we could start school at 10 o'clock, I would be good.
Okay, let's talk about it just for a second. Are you a little grouchy in the morning?
I'm not grouchy. I'm just very tired.
Understood.
Like I don't think I'm grouchy in the morning. I just know I really don't start to function at a high capacity until about 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Me neither. Listen, keeping it G, me either. Me neither. Like, when I was still in the 9-to-5 world, I was having to get up at 6 a.m. I hated that.
Right.
Now that I set my own schedule, which it took me a while to get here, but I'm here, I don't wake up till sometimes 9. You know, for what? Like,
I love it.
Just keeping it G, because like I'm like you. If I get up any earlier than that, I'm going to be a little groggy, a little out of it.
Man, look, if we had an option to where you could go to school from 8 to 3 and then another option where you could go from like 4 to 9, I would teach 4 to 9.
Yes, I'm more of a nighttime person.
I'd teach 4 to 9 every day.
Do you feel like you're more productive in the evening hours?
I do. Because I feel like I'm awake.
Me too.
And I already don't go to sleep. Like, if I'm in my bed before midnight, I'm not falling asleep until midnight.
Mm. Do you have a hard time falling asleep?
I do.
Me too. I'm like an insomnia. I have to take gummies.
Yeah.
I take the Delta 8 gummies because they're just enough to, like, melt me. If I don't take one of them things, I'll toss and turn for 2 hours. Slick.
Man, once, because, like, a lot of times when I get off, so I go to work. I get there at 7:20-ish. Stay there until, well, I get off at 3:05, and then we might have whatever I'm coaching, we got practice.
Yeah.
So that's till at least 5:30, and then I usually go visit my parents because they live about 5 minutes away from me, and they cook every evening. So
you got to stop by there, grab a plate.
Yeah, I got to go visit, go get supper.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's kind of like whenever I got something scheduled, like if I got to go in the studio with somebody, or if like if I got some friends I'm meeting up with, or I want to go do something, that's I make time to do it.
Yeah.
And I just go ahead and do it, and I know I'll be a little tired because I'm tired anyway in the morning, but who cares?
You make it happen. You have figured out work-life balance.
Right. Like, I tell people all the time, like, my life, if somebody else looked at my life and was like, it would be chaos. They wouldn't understand it.
Right.
But I know and I've figured out how to make it work for me.
Absolutely.
To where it's controllable, where it's not a burden on me.
Yes. So during the summer months when school is out, are you still actively coaching?
Yes. Yes. We do summer workouts for football and stuff like that.
That is dope. So year round, you're getting to it.
Oh, yeah.
Does it get really cold in your city?
We get about 5 solid days of cold, and they usually spread out.
Okay. So not too bad.
Yeah. Where we live is so in, if you get in a boat from where we live and go out through, like, the Intercoastal Canal and all of that stuff, you can be in the Gulf of Mexico in, like, 40 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is dope. So okay.
We're right off the Gulf, basically, so we get a lot of that tropical weather.
Yes.
And, you know, when it's cold, cold for us is usually, like, in the upper 50s.
Oh, so that's not too bad.
No, it's not too bad.
A nice little light jacket and you good.
But then we get them couple of cold snaps, them one or two little cold snaps where it gets in the 20s and 30s and everybody's bundled up like some Eskimos down there.
So you never see snow in your city?
The last time we saw snow, like real snow, was I think like 2018 maybe. I still got some pictures on my phone of it because that was the first time we had ever seen like just covered.
Right. That's kind of like here too. We don't see it that often. Yeah,
it happened once, like in the early 2000s when I was younger, and then I know back in like the late 80s, early 90s, it snowed real good. But other than that,
that's a good thing though. You ain't out there shoveling and plowing and whatever they be doing.
The people I live around, bro, they don't know how to drive in regular weather, so I can only imagine them having to deal with snow on a daily basis.
That is here too. People don't know how to drive on a beautiful day. Listen, they be stressing me out. I think honestly, just to keep it G, I love this city, but I did not start getting anxiety until I moved here. And a lot of it has to do with the traffic because people drive like a-holes, man. They tailgate you, cut you off. They don't care. I be in the car cussing everybody out. Man. Everybody's an asshole when I'm in the car. I don't like none of them.
You don't realize how much you hate people until you drive it.
Exactly. Right. Because that's when the worst comes out. Definitely. You got the picture here? Oh,
2017.
Wow. That is a good amount of snow. Okay. That is dope.
Compared to what we used to.
Right.
Absolutely.
Is the water clear out there when you go to the Gulf?
No, the water's about the same color as your table.
That's kind of slick how it is in the Tampa area. It's not because I think that it's not getting enough flow to it to filter it out, just kind of stagnant, so it gets a little dingy looking.
Yeah, like where we are, it's a lot of it's a lot of marsh, a lot of marshland, so you get all of that soil and
vegetation and soil mixed up in there. Yeah,
so
it's more like a lake, probably. It looks like.
Well, it looks more like a lake, but you go down to like Grand Isle or Cocodrie and all of that. Buras down there on the end of the Mississippi, and it's still pretty dark. And then once you get out a good little bit, a few miles,
starts clearing
it
up.
It kind of starts to blue up a little bit.
Yeah, that is dope. Let's talk. You got this beautiful story about being a teacher and playing sports and coaching.
Right.
Where did music come into play?
I started playing guitar, and I started like rapping, like messing around with rapping when I was like 13.
Okay. Who was one of your favorites at that time, real quick?
So we had so much influence, like between New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Houston, Atlanta.
Yeah.
Like we just kind of got all of it.
Yeah.
But I've always been a big fan of like Nas.
Oh, really? Yeah, okay. Nas has always
Nas always been one of my number ones.
He's definitely a genius.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that. I thought you was gonna name someone like, you know, from Houston or something.
Nah. Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah, like I love H-Town. I love my Houston music. Shout out to H-Town.
Real. Great city.
But yeah, like early on, like Nas, Rakim, and you
come. What you know about Eric B and Rakim, man? Man, legendary.
I've been around a little bit. Yeah.
That is dope. But so
I like a lot of older stuff, though.
Me too.
Like, I listen to a lot of older music. Growing up, like, my mom listened to a lot of, like, 80s and 90s country stuff.
Okay.
My dad listened to a lot of classic rock.
My dad, too. And my dad and your dad probably get along fine.
I'm sure. And so listening, like, I listened to all of that growing up, and then I kind of discovered rap and hip-hop on my own and then with my friends. You know, growing up, I'm one of the, like, only white guys on the football team, only white guys playing baseball, only white. So I discovered a lot of hip-hop with my friends and stuff like that, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So I started kind of writing some stuff that I would probably think is terrible now. Like, by my standards now, it's probably terrible. But I started that when I was about 13, eighth grade.
Okay.
And then my junior year of high school, I started playing guitar.
Now, that is dope.
Yeah.
I love live instrumentation. Do you still actively play?
Yes.
That is fire. What type of guitar?
I play so the bands I've been in, mostly I've played lead. I've been a lead player.
That is dope. Have you ever played the guitar in any instrumentation of creating one of your songs, like in the like actual beat process?
Yes.
Let me just say this. When I listen to a beat, my favorite instrument I love to hear is the guitar. I love it.
Mine too.
Yeah. That is so dope. Do you play for other people as well?
I do.
Man.
Yep.
What do you not do, bro? Like, I'm just asking. You're just an all-around super talented. I love it.
Thank you.
Do you play other instruments, or is guitar kind of where you stop?
No, guitar is pretty much it.
Yeah.
Like, I can play a bass guitar, but because it's the neck is all the same, the notes are the same.
Yeah.
So I can do that if I need to, but that's pretty much where it stops.
No, that is dope, because a lot of people, I don't even know how to play nothing, so I'm impressed with that. Self-taught, or did you take lessons?
Self-taught. Wow. Like, I had some musicians around the area that, like, a couple of them helped me out. Like, Kip Sonier, who used to be, he was a lead guitarist for Sammy Kershaw, and he was a lead guitarist for Trace Adkins before he got real big. He had his own band and recorded and did all of that stuff. And so he helped me a little bit, showing me some stuff here and there. Yeah. But for the most part, I was self-taught.
I love that, though.
Just kind of figured it out.
Yeah, I like doing that, too. Like, I'm not that I mind people helping me, but I'm the type of person that I learn better when I just do it myself.
Yeah.
Whatever it may be.
A lot of YouTube.
YouTube, like, University.
A lot of YouTube.
Nah, facts.
And that was
facts.
Before there was, like, a ton of stuff and all these guitarists on there showing this and that and that. This was, like, 2006, 2007 YouTube.
Yeah, 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 exactly. So, and it's definitely come a long way.
Yeah.
How long have you been releasing music on the digital platforms?
So, just my music. This will be my first album release.
Okay, which is coming up Friday. Yeah.
I released a track last Friday. I released a track the Friday before that, and I released one at the end of February. But before that, I was with this band called Undivided.
Okay.
And I was the lead guitarist. I was a rapper with them. We were doing a mix of, like, country, rock, and rap.
That's impressive. I love it.
We were going good for about 2.5 years or so, and then we got some songs out on all platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, all of that, YouTube.
Yeah.
We had played some of the biggest, like, stages in the South, like Jazz Fest in New Orleans. We played. We opened for Rehab twice.
Mm.
Like, we were doing real good.
Doing your thing.
We were close. That's the nicest way I can put it. We were close, and then
absolutely
And then stuff kind of went left, and I had to walk.
Understood. You have to do what's best for you. In certain situations, it's okay to be selfish, you know, because you have to think about you first, you know, our mental health, our physical health, you know, whatever it is. I just posted about it on my story the other day. I'm like, if there's anything or anybody that doesn't bring you joy,
right,
if they're bringing more animosity or stress into your life, eliminate that thing or that person.
I'll tell you the whole story when we get off the air.
Of course. Absolutely. I respect it.
I already gave them more airtime than I said I was going to.
We'll leave it right there. Yeah. So you've been releasing music yourself on the platforms, and let's talk about Swamp Stories. It's releasing this Friday.
Let's talk about it. Yep.
Swamp Stories. First and foremost, I love the title. One thing I'm an advocate for when you're a music artist, when you name your projects or your song, come up with different and unique and off the wall names, because just off of the title will engage people to want to listen to it.
Right.
You know, if you just name it something basic, they're like, oh, it's just another money record. It's another drug record.
Right.
Swamp Stories. Where did the title come from?
It's just something kind of personal to me. Like growing up where I grew up, you know, it's in the swamp.
Yeah.
We grew up on the levees and in the bayous and in the marshes. Not even a lot of times hunting and fishing, just a lot of times just being out there.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't nothing to us on a Friday night. We'll go party on the levee.
Yeah.
Just out of the way of everybody, or in the middle of a cane field somewhere.
I love that, though.
Yeah. And, but we also had a lot of that, like, kind of city influence from, like, Houston and Lafayette and stuff like that. So the album cover is actually an old drop-top Cadillac in the middle of the swamp.
That is so dope. You really got to experience the best of both worlds, Slick.
Right.
That is fire.
I feel like I did.
Yes.
But
Are you like a outdoorsy kind of person?
Not overly. Yeah. Like, I got friends that are real big into it, and I don't mind going hang out with them while they do it. It wasn't something that my family really did. We were into sports.
Understood. Absolutely.
So while they were getting up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning going hunt deer, I was getting up at 5, 6 o'clock in the morning going to play ball. And then we just meet up in the afternoons once we got done doing whatever and just kind of hang out. But it, the tracks on the album, most of them are kind of like, if you know anything about music in South Louisiana as far as rap goes, a lot of it's kind of like just turn up, kind of club music.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple of tracks on there that are just like, just kind of like me talking a little noise. And
yeah.
Because we do that.
It's a diverse project.
Yeah, and I got a little track on there, a little something for the ladies.
Gotta have something for the ladies. Can't forget about the ladies.
Gotta have something for the ladies.
They're going to be your biggest fans, Slick. They are going to be your biggest fans. The ladies love when you talk to them.
Yeah, so I got one for sure for them, and I got two songs y'all can shake to in the club.
Okay.
Couple things you can just turn up to, couple you can just ride around,
listen to,
chilling. Yeah.
How many singles are going to be on the album?
There's 8 on the album. So there's 8 on the album if you stream it through iTunes and Apple Music and all of that. There's 8 tracks on the album. If you buy it directly from me from my website, it comes with the bonus track of the freestyle I dropped last Friday. So it got 9 on it.
Listen, let's talk about that for a moment. I'm such a big advocate of what you just said. Artists have gotten away. I'm an OG. I came from an era where artists sold their own music, putting CDs out and stuff like that. What made you decide to put it on your website for sale? Because I think that's so genius.
It's on my website. All of my music is on my website.
So they can purchase it from there.
You can purchase anything you want directly from me.
Hard copies or digital copies or both?
Digital copies, and if you want a hard copy, I'll find a way to get you one.
That is dope. I love that. I love that because, you know, really, Slick, putting on the digital platforms, you already know this. Yeah. It's a bittersweet. You can get it out to the world, but what they pay is like a punch in the gut. You know what I'm saying? They pay next to nothing.
Matter of fact, hold up, because I was just fixing to go there, and I want to make sure I got the math right.
The math gotta be mathin'. You're a teacher, so the math gotta be mathin'. But you're absolutely right. It's like next to nothing.
All right. So the way it works basically is if one of your songs is streamed 1,000 times, you make $1. Because it's like 0.001 cent
right.
per stream. So, and I think they were working to where it had to be at least 1 cent now. I think there was a bill they were trying to pass to where it's at least 1 cent per stream.
Right.
Which is better, but it's still.
Still like, gosh, it takes.
You got to stream it 100 times to get a dollar now. So the way I did it, I put everything on my website. For $2 a song.
Okay, I was just going to ask you, can you buy the songs individually?
You can buy them all individually. The album is $10 on my website.
I'm going to purchase it from you. I want to support you. Absolutely.
The album is $10 on my website, and you get the bonus track with it. And that's basically the equivalent. So if you would buy that album for $10, that's the equivalent of streaming one song on the album 1,000 times.
Exactly. Is there going to be a clean version for the album as well?
I'm in the process of getting that cooked.
That's what I need. I need the clean version because I'm on FM radio here in Atlanta. Right. I want to give you some airtime. So yeah.
When I get back from here, I got to get with my engineer. He has all the tracks, so I'm gonna get him to
clean it up.
Make a clean all of them.
Yeah, that when you put it on Spotify, Apple, put a clean album and a dirty album up there. And you may already know this, but I like to announce it because some artists, they will only put the dirty version.
Right.
Well, you're missing a whole entire audience of Absolutely. Kids, maybe businesses that might have a playlist going. So put both out. So I want to purchase it from you and send me when you have it, the clean version. I'll take the dirty version too, but send me the clean version.
I sure will.
So I can give you some airtime.
That'll work.
Definitely. And, you know, I just recently, my show syndicated in Denver too. You know, they smokers out there, you know. That is dope. So what time is the project dropping?
Midnight going into Friday.
That is fire. And I like the fact that you didn't overdo it with the amount of tracks you put on there. It's an easy listen.
Right.
It's an easy, probably 25-ish minutes, somewhere in there, depending on the length of the songs.
Somewhere in there. They all about 2.5 to 3 minutes each. It's not, you know. You're not going to sit there and be like, oh,
the song is still going.
Yeah. And most of them on there are kind of hype. So by the time you get done with it, you might be like, man, it's over already.
Nah, right. And that's the kind of effect you want to have on people. Yeah. What about visuals? Are you shooting any music videos for the records?
I'm going to be shooting some videos for the records. Love it. I'm doing all of this on a teacher salary. So sometimes it takes me a little longer to get stuff done. You know, I ain't out there scamming nobody.
Right, or slanging on the corner.
Or putting nothing in the community, you know what I'm saying? So it takes me a little longer sometimes, but I'm getting it done.
Nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with that. Like, it takes years for people who do it the right way. And like you said, you could have took one of those jobs that pay you a lot more, but that wasn't your passion.
Right.
I'm with you. For me, it's about peace and happiness. Money cannot always buy that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like if I was a lawyer, I wouldn't be happy. It's a stressful ass job.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Doing this, I don't make as much money, but I'm happy. I don't come to work feeling like, dang, I don't want to be here.
You get to wake up at 9 o'clock.
I get to wake up. Listen, and baby, sometimes it'd be 9:30, depending on what time I want. Because what I'll do is I typically will set my alarm. But some days where I'm like, I don't have to come here. I'll just let myself sleep until I'm done.
Right.
You know, because we are all like slaves to that alarm clock. It has to wake us up. Sometimes you just want to sleep in a little bit.
Right. And man, shout out, since we own that, shout out to my principal, Jared Ross, Mr. Ross. I appreciate him because he knows I do all of this. And
he's cool with
it. Yeah, he's cool with it. He knows, like, if I have to happen to miss work to, like, go. So, like, I still play guitar and stuff like that. I'm in Orange Beach, like, once a month, and it's a Friday and Saturday. So there's some Fridays where I do take off early.
Yeah.
Because I got to get on the road to go, you know, do something. And he's been very understanding of that the last 2 years.
That is a major blessing.
Absolutely.
Because that's not always the scenario.
Absolutely.
When I moved here,
thankful.
I was working for a company for 12 years and they ended up laying me off because they found out that I had started my own business. And in their mind, if you're not focusing on us 100%, we don't want you no more.
Right.
To me, that was a blessing in disguise, you know, because I hated the people I worked for. Fuck them motherfuckers, you know what I'm saying? But that's beautiful that you got somebody who's understanding.
And another thing about it is that I think really kind of helps the situation is my extracurricular activities don't affect my work.
Exactly. You go to work with that mindset of, I'm a coach, I'm a teacher, I'm here to do this job.
I've been very good at being able to separate the two and keep them separate and one not affect the other too much. And Except some of the kids now, man. Some of the kids are into it. They some of my guinea pigs.
Yeah.
Like some of my older football players. I'll be like, hey, come listen to this real quick.
No, that's dope, though.
Before I put it out, I'll be like, come listen to this. Oh, yeah, coach, you got to send me that. They'll let you know, because, you know, kids
They have no filter. That's why I said you're the coolest coach and PE teacher ever.
Kids will let you know, man, and I'm thankful for them. They've been some of my biggest supporters, like on TikTok and Instagram and all of that. I posted a snippet of that freestyle I was talking about on Instagram, and blowing up.
That is so dope. Yeah, this younger generation will blow. That's what makes a lot of this content go viral.
Uh-huh.
Definitely. So you got the album dropping on Friday. What do you like? Oh, go ahead.
The album comes out on streaming and all of that Friday. I released it on my website last Friday.
So it's already out on the website.
It's already available.
Tell us the website address.
It is Big Hulk, BIGHULK 337 Music, MUSIC. .com.
Got it. So is 337 your area code?
It is. So I made it a point to kind of give people an incentive to get it from me. Because if you get it from me, you get it early.
There you go.
Anything you get from me, you get early. You get early access to.
We like that. Sneak peek. Makes people feel special.
Anything you get from me, you get early access to.
Are you going to do any type of event, like a album release party or anything like that?
Nah, probably not.
Yeah. Listen, I don't
enough
know
going on.
I'll say I don't know about you, but I'm like an introvert. When I'm not working, I like to be home.
Yeah,
that's my peace of mind.
If I'm not hanging out with certain people that I want to be around, I'm cool just being in the house.
Me too.
Going shoot pool by myself or doing whatever.
Because there's weirdos out there. The energy that people project, we have to protect our peace.
Yeah, and I'm around people so much. Like I'm around 200 people every day. Yeah. So. By the time I get done, sometimes I just want to chill.
Nah, facts. Bless your heart. Like, that's a lot. Do you see yourself in 10 years from now still doing what you're doing as far as teaching and coaching?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, unless this goes a different direction and somebody offers me the kind of money that I can pay off the stuff that I have right now, like my house.
Yeah.
Like, if I can pay off my house, pay off my truck, and somebody gives me the type of money to be able to do that and pursue music full time.
Yeah.
To where I can take the money I'm making doing that and put it back into them schools where I'm from.
Yeah.
Because that's my end game.
Yes.
Like, I'm not looking to be a billionaire or anything like that.
Yeah.
If I can handle what I got to handle and get my expenses to as low as possible to where I can do this full time and be able to pump a substantial amount of money that I make back into my kids.
Yes.
I'm good with that.
Man, that is amazing. Are you a father?
I'm not.
Do you want to be a father one day? Yeah.
I do.
He said coming soon. You know, right now you got a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
Those are your children right now. Those are your babies.
Right.
Do you have any animals?
No, I don't.
No?
I don't have time. I don't.
Like, when would I have time to walk a dog? I got to get up and go to work. Come home and do more work. Yeah. Understood. Absolutely.
That's why I said, like, my life is chaotic, but I know how to make it work for me.
Absolutely.
And, you know, not everybody is understanding of that, or not everybody would be understanding of that.
Absolutely.
So it would have to be the right person, right situation.
100%. You know? Absolutely. Now, do you foresee yourself maybe moving to, like, Houston or anything? At any point in time, you want to stay where you're at?
I don't think so. I think I'm going to stay where I'm at.
Yeah.
You
love it there.
It's home. It's home, and I feel like not enough. I feel like there's not enough people from there that are in positions like I'm in to be able to deal with what we have. Because, you know, a lot of times you get people from out of town that come in and they don't necessarily know what they're getting into.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily know the community, know the people.
Yeah.
Even the school I'm at right now, I grew up 10 minutes away from it, but I know all of the people that, I know all of the people that are there.
Yeah.
I grew up with, like, the kids. I grew up with a lot of their cousins, like, playing ball and stuff with their cousins and uncles and moms and dads.
That is dope. It's like a real family-oriented type community. Yeah. It's like a family for you.
When I was teaching at Franklin Junior High, the kids I was teaching, you know, like I said, it's a pretty impoverished kind of area.
Yeah.
But the kids I was teaching, I understood the situations they were going through because I grew up with their brothers and I grew up with their dads. I slept on their grandma's couch before with the plastic on it.
Yeah.
And got fussed at. You know, when they got their ass whooped, we got our ass whooped. You know? Like, but I'm able to understand what they're going through, and I'm able to relate to them because I'm from there. I was there with their people when that stuff was happening, you know. So I understand the demographic. I understand the area. I understand that kid's only knocked the hell out in class right now because his mom's working three jobs and he's raising two kids.
Yeah.
And he's 12 years old.
Absolutely.
You know. So a lot of people, you know, if you're not from the area, you might not know that.
You are truly fulfilling your purpose.
Thank you.
You are fulfilling your purpose, and you being there, like, it's almost like you can't leave there because you are a gift. Like, you're a role model.
Like, every time I think about going somewhere else for more money and whatever, I'm like, man, but if I leave, who's gonna be here?
And you probably wouldn't have the peace of mind that you have now if you go somewhere else. That's like your safe space. That's your comfort zone. That's priceless. You cannot put a price tag on a peace of mind.
Right.
You
absolutely can't. And I can always get out and go do stuff like this.
Yeah.
Like, I can always go somewhere.
Yeah.
And I can always come back.
It's got a beautiful situation. I wouldn't leave there either if I was you. I would be like, I'm good. I'll go travel a little bit, but I'm coming back. Yeah,
especially with the work situation. Like I said, they've been really good about dealing with letting me do my music and stuff like that, and being able to go in and out as I need to.
That's amazing.
That's not something you'd be able to get everywhere.
No, that is absolutely not. The only way you
can. Especially in the school system.
Right. Because it's, if you have last minute, now they got to scrounge up for a substitute or whatever, you know, like, you have a beautiful situation. I wouldn't leave that either.
Right.
Let's check out this record. It's called Throw Dead.
Yeah.
Throw Dead. You know what I'm saying? This is featuring Showstopper.
Yeah.
This is going to be on the album.
It is on the album.
Let's talk about it a little bit. What was the motivation behind this record?
So I had actually gotten that beat from another producer friend of mine. Well, not that beat. The original beat I had gotten from another friend of mine. It was supposed to be a little faster than what it is. It was supposed to be kind of like was it Travis Porter that Bring It Back? It was supposed to be kind of fast like that. And another artist that I'm friends with, when I had posted the instrumental and like a little snippet of behind the scenes kind of thing, he had called me. He was like, bruh, that guy sold me that same instrumental like 3 months ago. I was like, oh.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So
those producers are infamous for doing that.
So, and it was just an honest mistake, I think. So, because that was the only time we had ever had that kind of issue. So we showed each other the text messages and all that, and like, oh. So, yeah, so you good. Go for it. Use it. And so I pulled it down, and I ended up going to the studio with Showstopper, and we went meet up with Mickey Guns. Shout out to Mickey Guns, Trail Entertainment. We got with Mickey, and he was just playing me some beats, and I heard that one, and I liked it. And I was thinking about it. I was like, man. Because we was going to write something right then and there, and then I thought about it, and I was like, wait a second. I pulled it up on my phone. I was looking at the words, and I was kind of putting the words to that. I was like, shit, I got something already. This will work.
Yeah.
So I rapped it for him and did the hook and all that for him, and he was like, bruh.
That's it.
Like, that's it. So Jason wrote his verse for it, and we just kind of went from there. That whole thing was put together in about, I don't know, 2 hours.
Man, you be working.
Yeah.
You don't play around.
Man, look, that whole album, with the exception of that song.
Yeah.
So I record at my house.
Yep.
And then that's just kind of get the rough drafts.
Yeah.
And idea of what I want to do.
Yes.
And then I go to usually Titan Sound Labs in Lafayette. Shout out Titan. And I go record with him for the finals, and he mixes and masters and does all that. I did the other songs on that album at his house in 2.5 hours.
Man.
We just.
Boom. Knocked them out. And I love the fact that you go into the studio fully prepared.
Yeah.
Because time is money. You ain't
so
trying
does
to.
He.
I was about to say, I'm quite sure your engineer loves when you pull up because you're prepared.
Right.
There's some, I used to work at an actual recording studio, and I remember some artists coming in there. They wouldn't even have a beat picked out.
Yeah.
So they're like, let me shuffle, let me do all that stuff before you get to the studio, bro. Like, that's crazy.
He told me somebody one day came in there and took 4 hours on an 8-bar verse.
That's insane.
I was like, what?
They need to, like, stop immediately and go back to the drawing board and figure it out, because that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm like, don't.
They might be in the wrong business.
Because I know how much he charges, and it's not... Like, it's not bad by any means. Yeah. He's very affordable for somebody that's on a budget.
Yeah.
And he does very quality work.
Man, that's beautiful.
So, for you to spend the money you spent and only barely do 8 bars in 4 hours.
Something not right.
That man could have been working with somebody else.
And knocked out 2-3 songs in that amount of time.
So, slick. Time is definitely money.
Facts.
And I think that's like the teacher and the coach, like, in me. I got to be prepared going into something.
All that. It's so important.
And just doing good business. I always tell people, like, in anything you're doing, it don't cost anything to do good business.
Man,
and it don't cost anything to be a good person.
Say that again, bro. Like, it's so weird to me, the amount of scammers and dream sellers that are out here, bro. Stop doing that. You know, especially, you know, with artists, you know, like you said, you're on a teacher's salary, you know, obviously you ain't got to disclose that, but it's like, you got stuff to take care of.
Right.
We ain't got time to send someone $500 and you don't ever hear from them again.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's the type of weird stuff that goes on out here. I'm glad you and I met, you know what I'm saying? Boom. So we're going to get into this record. Before we do, tell everybody where they can follow you at.
You can follow me on pretty much all social medias at Big Hulk 337, BIGHULK 337. That's Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook. My name is Scott Burdett, SCOTTBURDETT. Follow me. I'll follow y'all back. I'm not one of them stingy kind of people. Y'all follow me, y'all holler at me, I'll talk back to you. I ain't got a problem with that.
And I appreciate you being so transparent. Like, you just really let us know your story, your journey on the personal side, business side, and I love those kind of conversations. That's what our listeners want to hear. You know what I'm saying? These artists that come in and they try to be all bougie and stuff. No, give us who you really are.
Nah, that's never been my... That's never been my thing. What you see is what you get.
Yeah, we're human, bro. We all go through stuff. Yep. That's crazy. Anybody you want to shout out to? I know throughout the conversation you mentioned a few people you work with. Anybody in particular you want to show some love to?
Yeah, man. Shout out. So first off, shout out to my Centerville High School family, my Franklin family, Franklin Junior High, Franklin High, West St. Mary Parish. My parents, my family. Mickey Gunn, Showstopper, shout out to y'all. Super Unit, Trillion T, shout out to y'all. My dog Jimmy Bo, who put me in with some good people this past week. Shout out Jimmy Bo. Shout out to Big Bacon, ETCO. Everything checks out. Shout out to y'all, man. Probably some big stuff coming down the pipe with them. Some big stuff coming down the pipe with Super Unit pretty soon. So, and man, shout out to everybody that's listening. I appreciate y'all tuning in, man.
Shout out to you, too. Shout out to yourself. You make stuff happen. Like, you are just a dope person, man. Shout out to yourself, for real.
Thank you.
To pat yourself on the back 2 times. Listen, Big Hulk is in the building. We about to get into this record, though. I appreciate you being here, taking some time with me today. It's a pleasure to meet you, and we had a great conversation. So
yes,
thank
ma'am.
You for being here.
I appreciate you having me. Like, somebody asked me the other day, they was like, why you didn't just do it over the phone? You could have saved the gas. I was like, why do it over the phone?
It's nothing like this human.
You don't get the same interaction.
The chemistry is there. Like, over the phone is cool, but yeah. I like to
meet people.
Me
I like
too.
To go places.
Yeah, exactly. And you get to come out and see Atlanta a little bit while you're out here. So that's dope. Let's go ahead and check out the record. Introduce it for us.
All right, y'all. This is Throw That by Big Hulk and Showstopper, the Real Sick Patient, produced by Mickey Guns.
Y'all stay tuned for Let's Go.
Come and see what all the hype is about. Tune in to The Hype 87.3. Make it clap, clap, check, clap, stupid, clap, down.
Hey, shout shorty got her ass on her. The way she shake it down, I'ma throw this cash on her. When the club close, she gon' let me pound. Love the way she throw that ass around. Yeah, throw that ass around. Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. Girl, throw that ass around. Slow it down like up, down, up, down, up, down. Yeah, throw that ass around. Hey, shorty, throw that ass like a pitcher. Them boys trying to catch her, man. I'm just trying to hit her. Trying to get her on my special teams like a kicker. Real deal, triple threat, man. You know I gotta get her. My high club, baby, you could be a member. Hit her with the wood, she be yelling out timber. Body so cold like the middle of December. Put it on you once and you never will forget. Right cheek, left cheek, right cheek. Put my face in the middle, it look like they trying to fight me. Sitting there thinking about making her my wifey. She thinks you the shit, yeah, dog, she just might be. Hey, shorty got her ass on her. The way she shake it down, I'ma throw this cash on her. When the club close, she gon' let me pound. Love the way she throw that ass around. Yeah, throw that ass around. Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. Girl, throw that ass around. Slow it down like up, down, up, down, up, down. Yeah, throw that ass around.
Bad little bitch, yeah. Oh, she said she got that dick steady.
Shorty got her ass on her. The way she shake it down, I'ma throw this cash on her. When the club close, she gon' let me pound. Love the way she throw that ass around. Yeah, throw that ass around.